This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Email me. That'd be so cool.
We're having a fine arts reunion we're trying to get together.
Yeah, so that'd be awesome.
And I did know Julia Waffham. You may know.
Julie was at my house playing cards last night.
Well, she knows me. Yeah.
Juliana's awesome.
Juliana, yeah.
Okay,
right.
I got to let you go. Bye. Thank you. We're going to, you are on the air, and this is After Hours that's kicking
yes,
our ass
is.
Off the air.
Morning, sorry, it's 1
you?
O'clock.
So, Hot and Bothered would like to say thank you so much for calling.
And what I'd like to say is, you ought to do these masturbation shows more often, or even just devote a whole half hour just to masturbation, because a wise man once told me, gay, straight, married, with a lover, whatever, you're going to have more sex with yourself than ever with a partner.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
And I'm 58 years old. It's true.
Uh-huh. I've had sex with me more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
It's that me, myself, and I. That's the,
there you go. Well, I think we're getting kicked out of the studio here.
Yeah,
so thank you for listening to Hot and Bothered. If you're on hold, I'm so sorry. We're gonna have to drop all of you guys out of here. Thanks so much, and good night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
The gentle and proud. I want to love like the man in myself. I see how most people just ache to be good at expressing themselves. Oh, I wish I could tell you just right what I mean about the light shining down if I'd only come clean. But for now I live with myself in the middle of the night. I'm gonna stand up and let myself be counted for. Stand up now. I got my one life and what's it to account to if I don't learn how to love you, love myself beside you, mix the gentle.
Amendment to Cracker Barrel, don't ask, don't tell, HX5 Survivor Sex and March on D.C. Greg Louganis, Selton John, George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, Rowdy Girls, spend your day at Disney World. Tune out and scare them, make the case. Ian, Ellen, Will and Grace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you. What else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. It's been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets and follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston. Boy, it sounded dead.
That sounded like you were starting to sing. I was getting scared.
I'm getting weird with this.
Oh, my God. Okay, try that again.
Or should I go for the long breath control one? Or just swallow the mic?
Just... Whatever...
Hello, Houston. How you hanging?
Whatever you're used to doing here lately.
Well, you know,
we've there goes the mic.
The hell with the safety bit. What am I saying? I don't like cut off.
I know.
We're not looking for an audio endoscopy.
We're putting a prophylactic on the microphone since Chris is going to be putting his lips really close to it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my. So, let's start again.
Biggest thing he's been close to these days?
No.
I know, I'm not supposed to be telling tales out of school.
Oh, is this school?
I've been a good boy.
Hello, Houston!
Oh, you know who the hell you are.
I'm Galveston in the world, and welcome to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
You know,
this is Saturday,
June the 7th.
I'm going to kill your mic if you're not going to get a word in edgewise.
And I'm Jimmy Carper.
And I'm the fat bastard Chris Harrison.
And we're both co-executive producers of this show. Believe it or not.
You know, looking at our mail lately, hello, Navasota and Rose Sharon.
Yes.
So sure as hell, Houston ain't listening to us.
I guess not. Well, we don't normally get letters from Houston folks.
We do have a county jail here. My God.
We don't even get emails from these folks. I don't know.
I do get plenty of emails from Nigeria.
Do you now?
Yeah, they want to help. They want me to help out with some banking problem they're having over there.
Oh, I see.
And there's some great hot stock tip coming out of Japan.
Is there just, now?
I love spam. Usually fried, but not on. Somebody left us a mint.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, this is after.
Must have been left over from the masturbation show.
Well, you know, this show specializes in it because, you know, especially when we...
Hell, I expected to walk in here and see half-smoked cigarettes after all the masturbation talk.
Well, one of them said that, you know, that she was masturbating right now on air.
Yeah, I heard that.
Robin flew out of her seat.
Yes, we had to hold her back. She was trying to get back in here, so, yeah. Oh, my, it was just terrible.
We do have seat covers for any guests that we have that show up. You know,
tacky.
You know, there are...
I know, you walk in there and it looks like it was a Melissa Etheridge concert or something.
I was thinking more, you know, the assembly line at Krispy Kreme.
Just woo!
La, 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 la.
Yeah. Okay. You know, is that rude enough?
In a way, you know, sometimes with you know, the amount of callers we get, especially after the last pledge drive, it was like masturbation.
How so?
We were all by ourselves and just jerking around. That's kind of how the last pledge drive
was. Is that how it went?
Yeah.
Okay.
You were the lucky one. You were sedated.
I certainly was. For 17 days, I was somewhere else.
Well, apparently I'm not going to be putting
anything
off of my...
Take me away, morphine. What?
Oh, Yahoo's finally crashed.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely.
So much for that.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little something. But let's see. Going on with ICROH this week, Carter's Cabaret is happening Monday, July the 10th at 7 p.m. Carter's Cabaret. Cartier's Cabaret. Okay. Oh, wow. It used to be Carter's Cabaret. Now it's Cartier's Cabaret. Okay. Whatever. Yeah,
and
what that means.
What organization are you with?
ICOH.
And that was mispronouncing the ICOH Empress's name?
I am sorry, Your Majesty. Anyway, that's Cartier's Cabaret and show. That means that come for dinner and have a little show afterwards. This week, I think it's hamburgers and hot dogs. Where, you know, it's summer, we're doing the barbecue thing, whatever.
Shh, we can't talk about hamburgers at bars.
Oh, yeah. In case anybody over 90 pounds might be listening. Okay.
That's going to be our next segment, honey.
Oh, yes. just a little teaser as to the next segment here. And also, at 8 p.m., the Cult 45's membership is happening at the BRB. And Wednesday on the 12th, as every Wednesday at Mary's, is the ICOH Jukebox Show. You never know what's going to happen. Most times it's folks doing bringing their own music and doing lip sync or live singing, all for fun and all for raising money for Lazarus House. Let's see. Next Saturday night is Evening with the Royals here on the After Hours Quickie. That will be at about 1:15 in the morning. And next Sunday, on the 16th, 7 p.m., Red, White, and You show at the BRB, hosted by Grand Duke Craig and Grand Duchess Judy. And we might have...
I don't know what's going on.
You just never know who might be there. Just never, never know. Now, for some other things going on in the... In the community, a few things, fundraisers, stuff like that. Jessica Van Shelton, I thought she was dead. Well, she's not. She's coming back to the stage with Talk to the Animals. It's a Cult 45 show to benefit Pet Patrol. That's happening Friday, July the 14th at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, at 2400 Brazos, right behind Specs Liquor. And all performers are welcomed, hosted by Helen Highwater and Jessica Van Shelton. And let's see, I was going to save that for last. The second annual Because We Said So show. Now, that's happening this weekend, 7-9. That's Sunday like today. At 8 p.m., right?
I'm right. Trying to come in through the back door, and it's not working.
You shouldn't say that on a gay show. Second annual Because We Said Show.
Said So Show.
This is the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, happening at 8 p.m. at the BRB. Ever hear a song that you know a certain performer would be good at? Well, this is that kind of show. Funds raised will benefit Legacy Body Positive Program and AFH Camp Hope through Coronation 23. And that was sent out from Christopher Garrett, last year's emperor. Now, coming up, mark your calendars, because we finally have a date. This is the third date that we've had for this particular show, by the way. It's had to have been postponed a number of times. It's the third annual Bad Ballads and Terrible Torch Songs and Lousy Lounge Acts. That's Friday, August the 4th. Yes, it's well in advance, but, you know, it took some time to get that date. At EJ's at 8:30 p.m. That's an ICOH fundraiser. Tortilla Heaven is coming to Houston. That is a one-man show. Based on, let's see, Tortilla Heaven is comedic yet very is a very real story of first, second, and third generation Mexicans trying to relate to one another. That's happening. That's a benefit for the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History. Happening. Oh God, I don't have the date here, but it's like October the 3rd.
I was way off.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but this is a big deal because it's dinner and a show. It's make your own fajitas. Yes, and this is happening at 1415 California Street.
You only usually pull fajitas out of three animals.
Hey, careful.
What?
Chicken, beef, and pork?
Shrimp.
Shrimp, chicken, beef. Pork and shrimp.
I've never seen pork ones.
You're kidding.
Nope, never porked a fajita before.
Mmm.
And I live around the street from a fiesta.
God.
God. I finally got into my email.
Good for you.
See, sometimes working through the back door works. A few things I'm going to put in your ear.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it is a Sunday.
Sunday.
July the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll down here where the actual information is. 3 o'clock at Rich's, the Mr. and Miss Mint Julep Contest and Drag
that's
Show.
That's the big one.
The only community-based fundraiser that Legacy Community Health Services, formerly the Montrose Clinic and some other group, has each year. Mm-hmm. There is no cover charge. There are donations accepted. Food is being donated by Riva's and Chipotle.
Nice.
They are doing the meal, and the desserts is the Houston Big Men's Club.
Whoa, ho, ho.
And we're working on trying to come up with some way of putting into it either the mint or the julep part into the dessert. So, be afraid.
I see. Julep.
We're trying. One's going to be mint and one's going to be the julep. We're going to try. You know.
Uh-huh.
If you've known this type of stuff that we do, we can occasionally be a little creative.
Occasionally. Yeah.
So, once again, that's at Rich's next Sunday at 3 p.m.
And where would you rather have your dessert? From a group of big guys. Yes, they know desserts, folks. They are the dessert chef of Dee Dee DeMarco, Empress of...
Imperial chef to Her Majesty.
Wow. Oh, Imperial chef, yeah, not that, just dessert chef.
Yes, the official title is the... we're in Imperial chef to her role... Her Imperial Majesty, Dee Dee DeMarco, the Emperor of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star.
That is pretty impressive, you know, because the group itself, the Reese's, are well known for their incredible spreads.
That's what we've heard, is that when we showed up and started working with Louie...
there's some big girls in that group.
The first time that we did it, everyone was like, you know... You guys are going to knock off the courts. the courts have been,
Oh, yeah. And Reese's has a fabulous reputation that if they ever, you know, have any kind of food with their show, go to it because, you will not be disappointed. And you will not go away hungry either.
I have to read through my... another thing we got to talk about is Houston community.
Yes,
Houston Council of Clubs.
Ah, yes, HCC.
I was getting confused with the other HCC. I was trying to fit the word community in there.
Oh, okay.
They're getting ready for Louis 2007.
Yes, indeed they are.
Which is going to be February next year, I believe.
I don't know.
I think it's a little early. And they're doing the design for the pin and poster.
Mm-hmm.
The pin design becomes the official logo of Louis Weekend 2007.
Right.
The deadline is July
19th, isn't it?
Hold on. Damn rice cake got stuck in my tooth.
Mm-hmm.
The July 19th meeting, which will be at the Ripcord. Artwork must be submitted on or before that date. The pin must contain or incorporate the comedy and tragedy masks that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Smiley face,
right,
frowning face. Must state Louis or Let Us Entertain You. Has to say either 2007 or 34,
mm-hmm.
which is the anniversary year.
Yeah.
And it must say Houston, Texas.
Other than that, you have free reign.
Colors can be purple, gold, and green, because it is a Mardi Gras.
Right. It's held the weekend after Mardi Gras.
The gold is the acceptable color, because that's the metal of the pin. The poster design just, you know, has to have Louis and the year, and just about anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Subliminal advertising is allowed.
Ooh.
If you saw the logo from last year, you'll know that it's subliminal. It took me 6 months to realize what was in the background.
I never saw it.
Took my niece about 3 minutes looking at it going, what's the green part? You didn't remember seeing the logo?
No.
Oh, you... Well, to see it, go to louisweekend.com.
Oh, yeah?
And I'll show it here to Jimmy on the
show it
Yahoo
to me. Oh,
group.
Show me that big old green thing.
And I didn't recognize it till I had it blown up full screen on my computer at work.
Oh, hello. Hello, big old 33 and big old Y. Well, you're looking for it, it's right there.
Yeah. Well, also, you have to, when you see the logo and you know the artist, it makes sense.
Who's the artist?
Steven.
Oh, yeah, Steven Bunch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So now you understand why the logo...
Well, it's probably drawn from life.
So, it's...
Throw it over your shoulder and burp it.
Absolutely.
Throw it on your shoulder and burp it? Hell, put it in a stroller.
Yeah, well, you can stick that thing in my stroller anytime. Okay. Have we disintegrated enough yet?
For more information, go to louisweekend.com. That's Louey.
Let us entertain you.
And that way you can send an email to one of the co-vice chairs, Lloyd Powell or Daddy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to finally get into my...
Well, how nice.
I said... Once again, work in the back door worked.
Mm.
And I didn't need any cake. not go there.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm.
So I think we've done the calendar to death.
We've done the calendar that we have.
Yeah, let's see. Louis.
You know, I did not get a chance to read The Voice this week yet. Has anybody read it?
No. Hang on, why don't I look in the folder where I put all this stuff?
That would be a good idea. I didn't even get a chance to look through the Twit, and this is just the third edition that's been out of the Twits, of the new Twit, the one coming out of San Antonio.
Well, that would be the second. Oh, wait. It's the second edition of the third incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
David's in there.
Oh, I didn't know David was in there. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, this is the second edition of the third incarnation.
Third?
Well, technically.
Oh, that's right.
Technically the fourth.
No, well, you see, because they went for 25 years, and then they quit, and then they put out one edition.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is the one that Scott Lewis allegedly worked with.
Yes.
We're still waiting for those audio tapes.
Yes, I know.
I interviewed RuPaul, and I'll send it to you. RuPaul!
Yeah,
and
I know.
We never saw it.
No.
I took care of Madonna.
That's Miss Scott Lewis. That's coffee. And,
I'm sorry.
Careful there.
I had the sniffles.
Mm.
What am I going to be sued for? Definition of character?
Definition of character. There you go. And
reminds me, Jason may be stopping by tonight.
Oh, speaking of somebody who's called me and I haven't called him back.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Here we go. I got something else.
Oh.
But it's got a word I can't pronounce.
Then let's do it on the Hot and Bothered show. They don't have any problems.
Oh, no. No, it's not one of the seven words. It's a word with an accent mark.
Accent? Where?
Right. I think it's...
Tafla?
Tafla! Oh. No.
I don't know what
that is. I don't know. Maybe it's...
Ta'afa.
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
Yes, well, that's...
People for the American Way Foundation, the ACLU, Atticus Circle, PFLAG, Equity Texas, Houston Equal Rights Alliance, and TAFIA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. TAFIA, whatever the
gotcha.
Hell it means. That's not really a powerful word in Scrabble.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd do better with PFLAG.
Gotcha.
Cordially invite you to a reception of the screening of A Blinding Flash of the Obvious.
What?
A film about fairness and how it was won. It's a dynamic documentary that tells the compelling story of the 2004 Cincinnati, Ohio campaign, Citizens to Restore Fairness. It was a local campaign that helped repeal Cincinnati's 11-year-old anti-gay law that explicitly discriminated against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered citizens. The film is... It's too easy to mess with his mind. The film is...
What mind?
He hasn't minded for years.
Hey, Mel.
The film is a part of the People for American Way Foundation's newly launched Focus on Fairness Toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they made this film had to be made and the Cincinnati story shared was it was the only pro-gay rights initiative that passed anywhere in 2004. It took place in Cincinnati, one of the five most conservative regions in the country. And while citizens of Cincinnati were undoing over a decade of discrimination against the GLBT community, they also voted the same-sex marriage ban.
Hmm.
Cincinnati voted against the ban that passed statewide.
Oh.
At 5:30, there will be a reception. Following the film, there will be a panel discussion featuring Reverend Stephen Baines, mm-hmm. Director of Outreach of PFAWF, People for the American Way Foundation.
Okay.
The Honorable Lanise Parker, mm-hmm. City Controller. Jerry Simino, Attorney and Equal Rights Activist.
Oh, yeah.
And Tammy Wallace, President of Houston Equal Rights Alliance. The moderator will be Dees Eckstein, Director of the Texas Southwest Region of People... Puffawaffa.
Okay.
Puffawaffa.
Gotcha.
That's on Wednesday, mm-hmm. July 12th, reception 5:30 to 6, the viewing in the panel from 6 to 7:30 at First Unitarian Universalist Church.
Oh, yeah.
The Channon Hall uses the Fannin entrance. That's mm-hmm. 5200 Fannin at Southmore. RSVP by July 11th.
Hurry.
joy@pfaw.org. Have anything else?
That's something that's worthwhile to go see, you know?
Yeah. Sue Knoll sent that out on the old LSA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just realized how difficult this one title. The title of this one article I forwarded on was Gay Surfer Flick Arrives.
Hmm.
And when you look at it closely, that capital L next to that capital I looks like a capital U. And it reads Gay Surfer FCC Arrives.
Oh, my.
Oops. That would have been a little bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do candidate announcement?
I did not do candidate announcement, as a matter of fact.
The Board of Directors presents the candidate announcement on July 14th, 2006.
This is ICOH. How did I miss that? And I'm on the Board of Directors.
This was sent out by the Daily.
They say the memory is the second.
It certainly is. The dick is first.
Which is a shame, because see, that way you can forget that you ever had it. Join the Space City Empire to see who will campaign to be Apollo Emperor and Gemini Empress of Reign 5. Once again, that's Friday, July 14th, 8 o'clock at EJ's, 2517 Ralph. 7 a.m. is the reception with Lice.
I don't think 7 a.m. is the reception.
P.M.
Gotcha.
Did I say PM or AM?
AM. You said AM. Honey, I am well aware of AM because I'm never awake.
I don't think anybody gay does anything at 7 AM except go home.
Or wake up and go, I did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Following the presentations, Apollo Emperor Mark Cohen and Gemini Empress Chanel Cartier will host Camping It Up with the Kids,
mm-hmm.
a fundraiser for Reign 4 benefiting Lazarus House, with 15% of the cut going to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund.
Oh.
This went out on the Louie list.
Ah.
Which you're now a part of, so you have no excuse.
Yes, I know. It just isn't on the calendar. Imagine that.
P-Flag tomorrow, July 9th. It was pushed because of the weekend, the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's the P-Flag Hat Scholarships.
Ooh.
Time from 2 to 4:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns.
That's right. Oops. Next to the Universalist Unitarians.
Hit that pole. Ah, you son of...
You hit the wrong one and it started all over again, huh? Oh, it's something he's doing. He's trying, you know, doing this engineering thing as he's, you know, I know.
You gotta hit the stop button, not the pause button. The pause button resets the damn thing.
Well, that's not a good idea.
I guess I'm gonna have to come in and get trained on this.
You need training.
The dangers of downloading porn.
I'm trying. Here's the scary thing. What I'm trying to get up is Amy Goodman.
I think she bats for our side anyway.
Yeah. I'll have to come and get training, especially after I heard the description. Who gives the training?
I'm afraid to ask.
It's not Eric, but I'll settle for training there.
Okay.
I've got enough friends that'll... No,
we should discuss this during a song.
Oh, why?
Because...
I'm just feeling very Clinton-esque. He is an intern.
Oh.
Well, call me Bubba.
I know it. I know it.
I don't have anything ready to cue.
Well, why don't you... No, none of those yet. No,
that's for the after hours news and views special.
Yes,
as we discuss the topic for tonight. Well, since we apparently do not have a segment host, we've came up with an after hours news and views special report coming up here, and we'll tell it to you now so you can rush over to your computer and find out what the hell they're going to be talking about. Tonight's topic: lipophobia and lipophilia. Ding. Next. Lipo? LIPOPHOBIA. Lipophilia. That's phobia. Damn. This is what happens when you spend 3 hours at a bar and don't drink. Actually, I was only there for two.
Imagine how good you'd feel if you had had a drink.
It was too hot and muggy out there to be standing next to a barbecue grill drinking alcohol. Grill, not drill. Good
barbecue
lord.
Barbecue drill. I guess
so. Okay, somebody exchange this iced tea for a Long Island iced tea, please. What are we going to play?
I would like to hear...
I bet you would.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I believe it is.
But 7's better.
Oh, yeah, this mumble indistinctly on the air a little bit more.
I've been wanting to hear... I've been wanting to play this on the show for a while. I have played it before. It's Kelly Gray. She's a jazz singer from Houston, and came out a few years ago. She was not out when she did this song. It's, I think, the best version of this song I have ever heard. I just love it.
Okay, tell me the title so I make sure I put in the right one.
Since I Fell.
Okay, good. I did hit the right one.
Mm-hmm.
7 minutes?
Yeah, it's great. It's worth it.
Now, wait a minute. On this show, normally when we play a song that's 7 minutes long, there's going to be a...
Careful. No, it's not like that at all. No.
No.
Not even
no
close.
Techno?
No.
What am I talking about? You with techno?
Yeah, exactly. Kelly Gray, Houston woman, Since I Fell. And you're listening to it on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM.
We gotta say all that crap all over again in 20 minutes.
I know.
Click.
When you just give love, and never get love, well, you'd better let love depart. Took my lover, now you're gone. Since I fell for you, since I fell for you. Well, it's too bad, and it's too sad, 'cause I'm in love. I'm in love with you. First, you love on me, and then you snub me. You got to tell me, what can I do? Can't you see that I'm still in love with you? I'll never, ever see the light, and I'll get those blue.
every night. Since I fell for you,
was Standards in, from the CD Standards in Gray, Kelly Gray, and that's with a, Kelly is with a Y-E at the end,
yeah.
And the last name is the normal spelling of Gray. You know, she figured she's going to throw an extra E in her first name, she'd throw an E in the Gray at the end.
No. Kelly Gray, that is just primary standard for that song. It's just wonderful. Wonderful.
So,
and that's an old album. Can you see the date on it?
1990.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah.
Back in those days, they were only using silicone for models.
Hey.
What?
And she was in her, I believe, her early 20s when she made that one.
Is that her half naked in the back?
What? That would be her.
That would be her. Oh. Bareback photos in there. My God.
I know. What will they do next?
And every straight man listening to this show, all two of them, just got a heart on.
I did that.
There's you squeaking. I was hearing feedback. And I hear the
squeaking. Yeah, there was feedback, so I turned my mic. Okay.
Maybe you need the cover.
I need something.
So,
are we going to do it now?
Yeah, I guess I'll still wait for that thing to keep counting down.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it.
Yeah. What we're going to do, coming up here a little later, what we're trying to program on here, what I was saying about trying to get Amy Goodman, is in the news lately here on Thursday, it was the Supreme Court of the State of New York. I'm sorry. Scratch that. The Supreme Court of the State of Georgia and the State Appeals Court of the State of New York both dealt a blow to gay marriage in those respective states, with the Supreme Court of Georgia overturning a lower court's ruling that the gay marriage ban was unconstitutional.
Yes.
And a similar thing happened in New York for different reasons. And on Friday, Amy Goodman interviewed someone from Lambda Legal in who was working on both of those cases. And also she had a speech from a rally at that was done in the West Village that night. The night the ruling came out. And some interesting words, especially after you find out part of the reason why New York struck down, the New York State's, the New York Court of Appeals struck down the law in New York State. So some interesting words, and I listened to it Friday night on the rebroadcast, and I go, you know, if we've got some time, you know, it'd be interesting to try and
Be worth it to
pull up
to
and like I said, it's just the software we use for that. Let me skip that over so I don't hit the pause button again. There's no fast forward on it, so I got to let it run for 20 minutes before
before it gets to that point.
Yeah, I think it's the 26th minute. It was her second segment, and usually her segment's at the 20-minute and 40-minute mark, which they went over talking about the Mexico elections.
Okay.
So we're going to be checking on that stuff, Matt. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into News and Views special report. And we've got the whole gang. I guess we're doing a kind of roundtable style.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, Robert's leaving us.
Well, first we'll discuss how come Paul doesn't have all of his shirt buttons buttoned.
Oh.
Did you bust a button or did someone swallow it?
We had roaming hands tonight.
Oh, my. I want to go with you next time.
Full hands, and it's just fingers. Yes, I've been running into some teasers.
Oh, our intrepid photographer.
Who has pictures up from the Pride Parade at his website, seeowl.net.
That's S-E-E-O-W-L, Seeowl.
Think like a straight guy and see Hooters.
Ooh.
Look at the Hooters, Seeowl.
Oh. Hey.
Down.
That's like when I worked at Kinko's. We had two clients. One was Parrot Ice, the slushy company.
Okay.
And the other one was Paradise, the strip club.
Oh.
So I used to tease people. I said, you know, if it was Parrot Ice, we'd go, rah, rah, brr. If it was a strip club, I'd just flash them. I don't have your mics on in there, so could you, someone in there, check the phone? Because we are going to open the phone lines later on.
We are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see if somebody out there, in God knows where, wherever in the world, I'm assuming the zip code 77018 lives. If that person wants to call in, we'll definitely make space for you.
Okay.
Tonight,
lipophobia
and lipophilia. Here's what it is.
What is lipophobia?
Well, you know the roots, the suffix is phobia and philia.
Yes.
Fear of and love of.
Yes.
Well, lipo, you just got to think of liposuction.
Right. And like lipoatrophy. Now, that's something that in the HIV/AIDS community we're very well aware of. That is the loss of fat in the extremities. Right. And it's sort of like between the disease and the medication, they take all the fat from your arms and your legs and shove it in your stomach.
So you get that little ET look.
Yeah, you know, this little olive on the toothpick thing.
So I'm going to turn on your mics in there. And first, I want to explain to everybody Now, I know, you know, I've talked about the subject for a couple of years here with my affiliation with the Houston Big Men's Club.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about it, you know, with... Now, I got to cut your mics down because another phone call's coming in. Roy, I've talked about with the fact, you know, we hosted an event a couple of years ago. We did a talk. We did a live remote from it. We're looking at some way we're going to do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've talked about these sorts of things, and I'm going to explain where... all this happened.
Okay.
Another group we've always talked about here is Lone Star Activists.
Yes.
It's a Yahoo group. One word, Lone Star Activists, with the S at the end. It's what happened when Hannet, the founder of Hannet, decided to take a break.
Mm-hmm. It's an activist group for GLBT activists.
It's 100 or so people in a Yahoo group who, for the most part, piss and moan about what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. In the gay world.
Yeah, in the gay world. And there
it's,
was a...
It's semi-political.
Yeah, it gets political. And, you know, this is a place where you can communicate with, you know, with, Jimmy's on, I'm on mm-hmm. there. Ray Hill is a part of it. Jack Valinsky occasionally pops in. You hear a lot of people who are with the... especially with the Democrat Party... Carl Marsh, yeah. He's in there. I mean, there's a lot of people in there that you may have known in the community who like to, you know, stand on the soapbox and yell at the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So, about a week and a half ago, Brandon Wolf, who was the founder of Hannet,
mm-hmm.
posted a wonderful story. It was apparently out of the Southwest Airlines Employees Magazine, which says, you know, are we going to try and do a little better with GLBT relations?
Mm-hmm.
We were dead, you know, HRC gave them a zero rating, or, you know, it was an interesting story. And I said, you know, we're going to try and do better.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's the airline industry. If you can't find a homosexual in the airline industry.
Oh, please.
They used to have one at the Continental Print Shop, but they didn't like Gay Standard Time.
No. Oops.
Although I was a little questioning about my supervisor, too, if she didn't show her husband off. She was a little butch.
I see.
Yeah, I'm outing my boss.
Okay.
Former boss. Well, it's not like I got an employment. So I posted two sentences. Two lonely little sentences, and this was 100 messages ago in the thread. Hey, we're getting phone calls.
Yes.
Somebody must have left a dime in the prison telephone. But no, this is a weird thing. Usually I post to Lone Star Activists and get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get rejected more here than I do would do at Club Houston. but I posted two little sentences. This might be good news, but remember Southwest Airlines is the only major airline that actively and openly discriminates against some of its passengers.
Mm-hmm.
They are the only ones with an arbitrary rule that people of size are required to purchase two seats, even on a flight that's underbooked.
Ah.
If you happen to see their show that they've been doing on A&E,
yes,
you'll see it. Every couple of episodes, they have some guy come up, and they look at him, and they go, I'm sorry, sir, you must purchase two tickets.
Yes.
To me, that's discrimination. Because, first of all, you know, if a pregnant woman walks on, she doesn't have to buy two seats.
No.
This is only geared towards people who are...
larger.
Overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that airline seats are... Just leave your headphones off, Roy. Someone's calling.
A drunk lady.
Oh, drunk ladies. We love drunk ladies. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a straight guy's line. I'm sorry. The lesbian isn't here, so... Oh, wait. I'm sorry. We do have someone here who will take a drunk lady.
Careful. Careful. Yes, we've got two bisexuals here.
I got better taste than that.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, how does a drunk lady hold her liquor? By the ears.
Yes.
You are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with
Don't
Attitude.
Tell them that, then they'll be able to tell the FCC who we are.
Right here on good old listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston, 89.5 FM.
So... I typed in this letter.
Yes.
This email. And some person out there, we won't mention any names.
Okay.
Mr. White.
Well, you see, there are two men with that same name.
I heard there's three.
Oh.
That's what's confusing.
And one of them used to be involved with KPFT.
Oh, and this is the other one?
I don't know. Oh. I'm not sure.
Well, somebody lives out in 77018, so...
No, I don't know.
If anyone out there's, you know, setting up the Taipei Dongs, you know, 77018, aim there.
Okay.
That's the Korean missile.
Oh.
Don't you love it they named it Taipei Dong? They're launching a Taipei Dong at the U.S.!
Please, please stop going off on... tangents here.
Geometry was my best subject.
It's almost like tangents.
So,
well,
this discussion enraged. Enraged, is that appropriate word?
Enraged this certain person, yes.
Yeah.
Then you're calling KPFT.
One person, you know, it went on and on. You know, someone has allowed themselves to get so huge that they spread over two seats. It's not discrimination to charge for a second seat. Well, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. An airline seat. Now, here's the way I told people, and I hadn't heard anyone try it. If you've got one of those old-fashioned secretarial chairs,
yes,
where the arms can move in and out to make it smaller,
yes,
get that and a tape measure. And I want you to move the arms in so the inside is 17 inches apart. That is the width of a seat. On Southwest Airlines.
Maybe I can fit in it, but...
From armrest to armrest, that is 1 foot, 5 inches. Mm-hmm. So that's a foot and the size of that piece of paper that that Melanie is folding into the microphone.
Yes.
I never know when the frickin' mic is on.
Your mics are on.
Yes.
You need to put a light on them.
Oh, the light burned out over there.
Yes, it did.
Some
okay, here, I'll flash you this way.
17 inches is not big enough for anybody except for a little child or somebody from...
Some like me.
Yeah.
What a size claim.
Now, 17 inches is actually the average size. You'll find most of your airline seats are 17 inches mm-hmm. wide.
Yeah.
My mother just flew up to Pennsylvania, and I happened to look on the... She was on... A very small plane.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't on. It wasn't on a Boeing plane or an Airbus. She was on one of the Brazilian Embraer flights.
Yes.
Two seats on one side, two seats on the other side. She actually had 18 and a half inches of seat.
Ah.
So, it's very nice.
Now, if you go first class, your seat is 50% larger. It is a seat and a half.
But, here's the problem with first class. For bigger
There's
people.
No problem with first class.
Well,
I love it.
For a bigger person.
Oh.
The majority of seating you have in first class,
mm-hmm.
where do you get your tray from?
From the middle, the side.
The armrest.
Yes.
Which comes out and over.
Oh.
And if you stick out, that tray isn't going to come down.
Oh, I see.
So if you're in first class, which everyone thinks, oh, just go to first class, pay the extra seat, you lose your tray. Because, of course, with first class, you don't want to bother the person by pulling a tray down from the back of their seat.
Yes.
That's the downside.
Oh.
So, all of this ensued, and like I said, it went into...
It went on and on and on.
Almost, the funny part was this, at one point, the title went from Good News from Southwest Airlines to, basically, you know, I only commented... Maybe three times.
Yeah.
And I mean, because there was enough... there's enough supporters out there that were arguing for me. And the person who was talking against me was just repeating the same thing over and over again. And so I didn't worry about responding. I had enough people talking for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And after about 30 or so messages, it went from good news from Southwest Airlines to, I just love this title, I want to make sure I get it right, to Mike Rogers wants his fat friends dead.
Yes.
And then it was, Mike, do you really want your fat friends dead? Because what this went from is this went from talking about Southwest Airlines to personally my group, the Houston Big Men's Club.
Yes.
Who twice a month does a hamburger fundraiser out in the Ripcord. And he, you know, this guy goes on talking about how people have come in and seen us and been so disgusted at seeing these 400 to 700 pound guys
that they just had to leave. Yes.
Scarfing burgers. First of all, none of us are over 500.
No. And most of the burgers are bought by other people.
Yeah. So.
Even your photographer.
Yeah, see?
And you know. So, I mean, I told him, I said, you know, if you want to walk through a smoke-filled bar to get, you know, a healthy conscious person going through a smoke-filled bar, I'll bring rice cakes. And I brought rice cakes
to
this burger ramen.
You did. And instead of the buns, you had rice cakes.
I had rice
and
cakes.
And he ate one. It was disgusting.
It wasn't that bad.
Ooh. Two rice cakes with a cheeseburger in the middle.
I had a tomato on there, too.
Okay.
I thought mayonnaise would have been overkill.
And what, you know, what's the big deal about hamburgers? I mean, you've got cheese, which is protein, and meat, which is protein. What's the problem?
You know, it's this greasy concept. But I'll tell you this, you know, we're as an organization, we're conscious about that. We came in, and if somebody would ask, and we did, we provided it several times. We provided them with an Atkins burger.
Ooh.
We didn't give them the bun. We gave them
the meat.
Atkins,
just the protein.
Atkins is, you know, that all meat, no carb,
right,
diet. So what we would do is, if somebody wanted it, we gave them a burger on the plate. We gave them a knife and a fork, and said,
"Go at it." Yeah.
I figured the Ripcord would be where people would go to get the protein supplements anyway.
Well, of course.
Yeah, it does have a reputation.
Yes.
You get a protein shake with that.
Ooh.
But, you know, the fact is that, you know, this one person feels that, you know, he's standing up for all of these silent people who have come in and seen us and been disgusted and walked out.
Let me put it to you this way. I would rather, you know, if there are two hamburger stands next to each other, and there are large people serving hamburgers at one and very thin people serving hamburgers at the other, I'm going to go to the one with the large folks. They know how to eat. That food's got to be better.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm going, you know, unlike McDonald's, I don't have any trade secrets. I'm going to tell you this. The burgers we sell.
Yes.
Come from those bastards at Sam's Club.
Ooh.
Oh, no. See, you're letting out the trade secrets now.
It's a preformed patty that's seasoned. I throw it on the grill, and the only thing I do is I hit it with some garlic powder and garlic salt and pepper.
Well?
And the way you hear these people moan, you'd think it was alive. But the fact that somebody here, you know, and I can understand, if this was true, that there are these large numbers of people who are so upset that there are these fat guys sitting out on the back patio stuffing their face with burgers or just sitting around being these fat, sweaty blobs, I asked every bartender there tonight.
Yeah.
None of them heard a word from anyone.
Nobody got up and walked out because the big guys showed up?
Nobody has complained. To the man, I mean, the manager wasn't there, so I didn't get a chance to ask him, but no one has complained to any of the bartenders.
Hmm.
And I haven't gotten any complaints on my website.
Okay.
The manager of the store, the manager of Ripcord, asked us to come there after the Pride Parade.
Yep.
And they sold out of burgers in 2 hours.
Wow. Wow.
And we are not the cheapest burger that you will find in a bar, as I found out today.
Oh.
But that's, you know, That's the sort of thing. We're hanging our colors there in a month and a half,
mm-hmm.
showing that this is a bar that's friendly to us.
Yes.
And, you know, this person's... What?
Oh.
Click. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, I hit the right button this time.
You're good.
Now, the last comment this person made there today...
Well, the thing of it was, all week long, or actually last week and this week... This person has just been regurgitating the same stuff, has not come up with anything new, the same really offensive, bigoted stuff
yeah.
in every single email.
And I guess I have to sound, I'll have to make a professional statement thing on this here. The person who did make these comments was invited.
Yes.
Publicly.
Yes.
To come to appear on the show and debate his point. He refused to.
That's fine.
He didn't want to encourage in the drama. My feeling on that personally is, you know, earlier in the conversation, I referred to the way some of his comments were as, you know, kind of the stuff you would hear out of, you know, Fred Phelps or Pat Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was really along those lines.
And... after I invited him and he declined, I have to apologize to Fred Phelps and Pat Robertson.
How so?
Because at least those sons of bitches will say that was words to my face.
Yes, yes, they will.
You know, I give them that credit. They're not someone who's just going to go...
You know, being a person, I have... before HIV, I... tended to be on the chubby side, and it was a fight to keep weight off.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just the opposite. I have to fight to keep weight on.
Yeah.
So, you know, a person's size, if they're happy with their size, what of it? If you are large and you have problems with diabetes and you know, heart problems and stuff like that, well, then, you know, maybe you should lose some weight.
Yeah, that's the part of what I try to explain to them, is the fact that, yes, when you... I mean, I'm honest about it. As far as I know... hold on. Oh, I got a second caller on there.
Wow.
Okay, what I'm gonna do is let's go to caller number two.
Is that?
Yeah, Roy's already screened caller two.
Okay.
And okay, caller, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, line two. Oh, hit the top one. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all made a comment earlier about eating food from a chef that's a large person.
Yeah.
And I'm right along the same lines. I'd rather eat food prepared by a chef that's a big person because he knows what's good.
Absolutely.
So along the same lines, I will not go to a barber that's bald.
Good point.
Well, it's like, well, they'll say...
Good point.
The other thing they say with the barber is, you know, if you go to a town and there's two barbers, one's got a really good haircut and one's got a really bad haircut, which You're barber right. do you go to?
The one with the really bad haircut.
Yes.
Because obviously the one...
the one with the good haircut is doing it.
Yeah.
So. Unless you're privy to the information that so-and-so cuts the other guy's hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we don't do anything special with the verse. We do some other stuff that we do. We get creative with. And some people look at us like, you guys are crazy.
They provide food for other functions, food and desserts.
I mean...
And they do get very creative with the food, and that's why they're asked back.
I mean, I showed up at an event there with pound cake and strawberry with cream cheese sandwiches for dessert.
Yes.
Which was good once they thawed out. You know, show up for an event for 1,000 people, and we take, you know, Italian waffle cookies, roll them up, and put a sweetened cream cheese filling in them.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the twisted things that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. You just naturally expect that big people are going to really either have the good food or know the good food and know where to get the good food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like going over somebody's house and they got somebody cooking in the kitchen that's real big. It's like,
oh, yeah, I want to eat there. Supper. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you for calling.
Not a problem. Y'all guys take it easy.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, the point that Jimmy was making ahead of time is, if I can believe the scale at Fiesta, when it was working properly, because I used it a couple of days ago when it said I lost another 70 pounds.
Oh, my.
It's like, oh, yes! But yeah. I'm not going to play those lotto numbers.
Okay. You are a large person.
I'm a large person. I am now at about 425 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was weighed on a real scale was, I was 495 pounds, and that was probably about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the problem I run into is the fact that at my size, you don't find a scale that normally would work.
Yeah.
But about Chris,
yeah,
a good indicator is your belt loops.
Yeah.
The holes in the belt loops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pointed this out. You know, I got this belt a couple years ago.
Now, you know, I know people say, well, if you have a leather belt, it'll stretch and all this stuff, but not that much. If you got like three or four holes down, you know, then you've definitely lost.
I mean, because, you know, I show this off as the way of an indicator on here. You know, you can see on the leather belt where you've got that little groove from where you've worn the belt.
Yes.
So you can see.
I can see. You've gone from the very front of it to all of the way to the back.
Yeah. So the last belt, last loop that came with this loop, well, on this belt loop.
And you've had to make a new one.
I've added three holes.
Oh, you have?
Inside.
Wow.
This is the last original hole. Here are three holes that I've done.
That's like a foot.
And that is, you know, if I had that much below my belt rather than in my belt,
ooh,
I'd be a happy camper.
No kidding.
And, you know, it is still kind of, I mean, if I go to that full one there, it's still
a little loose.
It's a little loose on there now. I've got another pair of pants that
you've lost at least 12 inches off your waist.
Was a draw that has a drawstring, and it's loose on me now. I can't pull it any tighter.
Yeah.
Well, the way I gauge as far as my weight loss is that, you know, basically, you know, if I can put my pants on easily, I know I've lost a little bit of weight. And if I got somebody else that's trying to take them off, I think I've lost a little bit more.
But, you know.
Ah, yes.
So, the fact is that, yes, when you are overweight, there is a lot of concern for, you know, health effects.
Sure.
And, yes, you know, diabetes, heart disease, yada, yada, yada. But the problem is that for the past 30, 40 years in our society, basically people have looked at fat.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they've said is, if you're fat, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're lazy. You don't deserve respect. And you sure as hell don't respect love. And that's what we've gotten in the society, is that the past 30, 40 years, that this change has really happened.
Yes.
You know, some people will call it the Twiggy effect.
Yes.
When the model Twiggy came out in, you know, the mid to late 60s, when it was this waif look. Now we call it, you know, now Twiggy's even too fat. You know, now it has to be heroin chic.
Oh, there was the cover of one of these supermarket newspapers that was showing actresses that were like 89 pounds and 90 pounds.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, they really looked ill.
Yeah. You know, Chris, when I was doing security at the Galleria, I brought some of the real younger security guards, 21, 22, mm-hmm. with me around, and I showed them some of the big photos they had of their models, of the models designing clothes.
Yeah.
I said, look at them. I said, look at their cheek lines. Look at their eyes. I said, would you want to date a girl that looked like that, or would you want to date a guy that would look like that? And they all said that they looked like they were on heroin.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, back in the 80s, they called it heroin chic. You know, Calvin Klein got bitch slapped. Mm-hmm. For his advertising campaign that was...
Just got a note here that the FAA has increased the legal average weight for planning flights.
Well, they kind of have to, because I, you know, when I worked for Continental, I saw what they said for the prop planes.
Yeah.
You have to have certain weights, and I saw what they considered for an adult was like 140.
Oh, my God.
And they've had to increase that to over 160.
Now, according to the federal government,
they should.
At 5'7" and a half,
mm-hmm.
I am supposed to weigh 140 to 145.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous.
Well, I'm 5'7", and I finally got up to 135. So, you know, I'm working on it. But,
you know, the thing with my weight and all that...
Mm-hmm.
The last time I had a complete physical was a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Doctor came back, and after she looked at the results, she only had one concern.
What?
My good cholesterol count was a little low.
Oh. Low?
Low.
Oh.
My good count was a little low. She says she wishes she had my cholesterol count.
Amazing.
Now,
and you've lost like 70 pounds.
I've probably lost about 70 pounds in the past year and a half.
Yeah.
And that was not intended. It just happened.
It just happened.
And I think it comes from with moving in with family there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't midnight snack.
Ah.
And I also... You know, one of the things they always joke about was saying portion control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. They bought cans of soda.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you drink three cans of soda. You go, oh, my God, I drank three cans of soda. I need to drink water. Well, I would drink a bottle of soda.
Yeah.
I bought the 3-liter bottles of soda.
And you would drink
and
those.
And that's just one bottle. It doesn't click. So, you know, the fact that I was sitting there drinking cans of soda going, oh, my goodness, I drank three cans of soda today. I need to switch to something else. And so now that I've moved back, that I've moved out on my own, you know, I'm living in a hotel, extended mm-hmm. stay hotel. I lug water. I go down and I go down to the little windmill things out in front of the grocery stores and fill up jugs of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I... go through at least a gallon a day of either water or Kool-Aid. I'm drinking Kool-Aid like it's going out of style.
Now, one good trick, and I learned, and it's working very well for me, is to change your comfort food. You're always going to want to have comfort food, and you're going to go to your comfort food.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, instead of trying to eliminate it, saying, bad boy, or bad girl, is... change what you're using for comfort food, something that you will enjoy. For me, I've changed out my soda for chilled fruit juices. And I've changed out the candy and the little pastry cakes and stuff
mm-hmm.
with chilled fruit.
Yes, but there's a one big difference between you, Roy, and Chris. And, Roy, you have some health problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. To say the least.
To say the least.
Yeah. So.
And Roy, you know, let's see here.
I changed out those comfort foods before I had a health problem.
We're not talking about large people losing weight.
Yeah.
Unless there's a reason for it.
Yeah. I mean, we call Big Roy because, you know, at the time when he started here, it was a,
you weren't here and, Big Roy was the biggest guy here.
Yeah, well, that, and we had Little Roy.
And then we had Little Roy.
Who's no longer with us.
Right.
So let's look at... Let me figure this out. Jimmy, how tall are you?
I am 5'7".
And your weight?
135.
According to the Body Mass Index,
mm-hmm.
you're normal.
What? Look at me. I'm skinny.
Jimmy's BMI is 21.1. So you are in the normal... You're right in the middle of the normal range.
Oh, boy, am I in trouble.
Okay.
Well, you know I'm in trouble.
And my doctor wanted me down to 160 at 5'11".
Okay, Roy, how tall are you?
5'7 and a half.
Okay,
we'll go 5'7".
I know this is your live stream. I'm going to give you a half an inch.
Okay.
Give you 5'8".
As of July 4th, when they weighed me in the Bent Top emergency room, 270. I wish it was 170. 270.
You are considered obese.
I know.
Yes.
You've got a 41. And obese starts at 30.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
What's the normal range?
Normal is 18.5 to 24.9. So if I remember.
And I was a 21?
You're 21.
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm at 57.6. What are you, Robin?
Oh, I'm 5'7.
And the weight?
I'm 210.
210.
Wow. You hide that well.
Very. I hate you, Robin.
32.9, you're considered obese.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, Melissa. Oh, yeah,
you're going to try this. Okay, I'm 5'8".
5'8"? Yes.
Oh, wait, 280.
What?
Yeah.
42.6.
My goodness.
Yeah. Well, so folks, Jimmy can't see this, but Chris can.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why.
That's one of the things that throw it off is muscle.
She's muscular for one thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, folks, we just had radio history. We had two women give out their weight. And the guys, we're still in one piece.
But, you know, my upper arms aren't much larger than my wrists.
Right.
Okay, let's see here.
Well, my wrists are about the size of Jimmy's biceps, so.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working out now.
Okay. If you are 5'8" tall, to be considered just at the lower range of normal weight, you must weigh 125 pounds.
No way! Is that for a man or a woman?
It applies to both men and women.
That's insane. Man,
that's ridiculous.
I probably like I have AIDS or something.
Five foot eight.
What is this from?
Wait,
this
is at Stonewall. That's what I weighed at Stonewall with a 28-inch waist.
Yeah. This is called a body mass index, a BMI.
In high school.
So if you just
that's the truth.
If you do a search of BMI, you'll find it. The scale I'm using is off of the. It's from the Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health. So this is a government website that's saying if you are 5'8", to be considered normal, it is 125 pounds.
That's
so heroin chic is what we're supposed to look like.
Hi.
So
we have somebody who just walked in. And you are how tall?
5'8".
5'8"?
205.
You're obese.
Yeah.
Because I just happened to just type in here, 5'8", 200 pounds, is 30.4. You are just the minimum of obese.
See, you're using the BMI index. I use the BMA index when people tell me that I'm obese.
Big, massive ass?
No, I tell them, bite my ass.
Bite my ass.
You go, girl. Wow.
So, you said there's a lot of muscle in each
face a while.
No, I mean, I've got a little skinny outfit.
Based on everything I'm hearing here, I'm in trouble.
Hey, you want to do yours, David?
I'm 5'6", 205.
5'6".
You're shorter than me, David?
Five.
Yeah.
Wow.
33.1, obese.
Yeah.
Obese? David?
Well, okay, Kristen, what are you?
I am getting a little bit of time. I want to get through something.
57.9.
Oh,
what is
goodness.
That class you as the Hindenburg or something?
Yeah.
By their
oh, my
index?
God.
Paul, what are you?
5'11 at 235.
Yeah, a little bit.
Lard ass. 32.8 obese.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
They want me at 160.
Oh, my God.
120.
I suppose to weigh like 135. Last I heard.
160 is the upper range of normal weight.
Mm-hmm.
If I got down to 160, I don't know if I would be alive then. I think my skeleton weighs more than 160.
My prime weight's 192.
Wow.
I'd probably like Oprah Winfrey or something.
But that's
just not right.
No, you know, I can't understand that for a grown man.
That's the body mass index is a measure of body fat based on height and weight that applies to both adult men and women.
So, 120, 125, you know, that's ridiculous.
Well, I think
for my height, no way.
I think that's based on the person not really having any muscle tone either.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Because, I mean, me and Melanie, that's our main problem is we got so much muscle
tone. You see, that's it with me. On the opposite side, I was at 125 for so long, and my doctor was really worried about it because I was too thin.
Yeah.
And I started working out, and I gained 10 pounds. Just from working out, yeah.
Because muscle weighs more than fat.
Right.
So, you know, that's the interesting thing of what we go by. So, you know, like I said, I'm 425 pounds. The only problem I really have is asthma.
Mm-hmm.
I live in...
That's not...
Depending anything. On the day of the week, this is the most toxic city in the country.
Amen to that, brother.
Oh. So that has nothing to do with weight.
Yeah. But, you know,
it's not affected by weight one way or the other.
Well, you know, there are ways that they do this thing. I had a nurse practitioner at a clinic look at me and with a straight face said, "You cough because you're too fat."
Oh, please.
I've had the same experience.
What it comes from is the fact that obesity can cause acid reflux. Acid reflux can cause asthma. Asthma makes you cough.
Honey, I've got acid reflux.
I have acid reflux.
It's the toxic soup we breathe.
Yeah,
go ahead, Melanie.
I had a problem a while back last March. I had some real bad congestion. I was having a lot of problems, and I finally was able to go to the doctor about it, and... he diagnosed me with what they call reactive airway disease,
mm-hmm.
which basically is like asthma light.
Oh.
And, but he said that, you know, in Houston, that's not surprising. There's a lot of people that have that. It's not serious enough to be classed as asthma, but, I mean, it was enough that, like, he prescribed me, like, an inhaler when things get bad and stuff like that. And he said there's a lot of people in Houston have that, and it's the pollution.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the pollution. Weight.
And another problem I have with my asthma is the fact I have a narrow windpipe, which, you know, the doctor... Now, I got a narrow windpipe, and I also have enlarged tonsils.
Yeah.
Makes deep learning tap, huh?
I know. God. Linda Lovelace, I'm not. And so I do have a problem with, you know, that causes breathing problems with that as well. You know, it's not because the fat is constricting my trachea, you know, or you're... I try to knock them out of the way, you know. I do the pool method of trying to knock the tonsils around.
Careful.
You should have seen the hand gesture she was using.
I see.
I'm addressing that.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, the fact is that we've got a society that, you know, we base that stuff off. This will probably get Rainbow calling in. I know it. I'm about ready to encroach on Rainbow's territory.
Okay.
You know, I'm self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an independent contractor. And I've had some things where, you know, I'd like to go see a doctor, but I don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I keep getting all these spam of, we can insure the uninsured. So I called them up.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, they go through the questionnaires. And they ask me, are you height and weight proportionate? No. So I give them the numbers. I had one guy... who was so cute in his answer.
Yes.
He said, I'm sorry you don't qualify. You're not tall enough.
That was very nice.
Well, apparently if you're 35 feet tall...
let me see here. Yeah. Well, let me give myself 12 inches. No?
You know, you're not going to get 12 inches, Chris. Not even on Saturday night.
Lord, am I short. I'm still overweight.
Yeah.
Let's go to... At my weight, to be in normal...
Yes.
I would have to be 9 foot and 6 inches tall.
Taller than Yao Ming.
Oh, my...
Now, wait a minute, you know,
that's just unhealthy to be that tall.
What's Shaquille's stats? I would like someone from the Institute, National Institute of Health, to plug in Shaquille O'Neal's stats and go up to him and go, you're a fat ass. You're obese.
Yeah, they got the balls to do it.
What, with his 13-inch feet?
13-inch feet, my foot.
No, it's a lot bigger than that. It's a lot bigger than that.
Honey, I've got a size 13 foot, so.
Yeah, so much
for... talking about more like 23 inches.
So much for that,
yeah.
So much.
23 inches?
But, you know, so, you know, it's not... The problem that we have... So, you know, I felt that I've gone in for some jobs and look at me like, oh, my God, we're not going to give you a job. You know, I've been on some job interviews in the past where the person before me got a tour of the facility. Yeah. And I got shown the door after mine.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And according to the people who know and they see my resume, you know, I've got the credentials. But...
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got some... When we finish this up, I've got something I want to read from Instinct Magazine.
Yeah.
It's a little column that Monique, the TV and film actress, wrote. And right. Then we've got some music geared for this subject.
Yeah, well, one of the people there was handing notes, yeah. You know, suggesting, you know, of people who cannot use a standard household scale might consider, you know, other places where to go. You know, like a scrapyard or metal shackle.
Sure.
Right.
It's true. You know,
no,
it's true. I used to weigh myself. My father worked maintenance at this one company, and he would get called in at night, and he'd usually ask someone to drive him.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we went there, and I drove him to his work, as he was going to his office to get his keys, we passed a forklift scale,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I used to weigh myself
mm-hmm.
on. You know, a standard household scale may go to 300, maybe 350.
Yeah.
Most of your doctor's offices will only go to 350, 375.
Yeah.
The last official weight that I had at a doctor's office had a digital scale, and he was a pulmonologist, so he's used to dealing with larger people.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an electric scale that worked for that size.
Oh.
As I said... The last time I've been weighing myself has been at a Fiesta grocery store on that scale. You drop in a quarter and it comes up with the electronic, you know, you mm-hmm. weigh so many pounds and so many such kilos, yeah. and your lucky lottery numbers are.
Oh.
But it hasn't worked. And I actually went up to the manager and told her, hey, this thing isn't working. I think it's because the floor is wobbly. That's what, you know. When I was at with the one place I worked, we had a forklift scale. I mm-hmm. asked someone to, you know, figure it out for me so I could tell how much I was. Because that's what I needed to tell. And that is a problem because you don't know a gauge on that.
Well, yeah, well, my upstairs neighbor is 6'6" and in excess of 400 pounds.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a society issue. You know, I've got a niece and a nephew. And... Their mother, a couple years ago, came to me almost crying. They're saying, you know, why don't you look into getting some sort of help on this for your weight? Because, you know, my children have grown attached to you and they don't want you to die from this.
You don't die from weight.
Yeah. And, you know, so she showed some concern about weight. And then I heard her... 4th of July. No, it wasn't 4th of July. A couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
They were over at my parents' house, and my parents have a scale in the bathroom, and yeah. my 2-year-old nephew loves to go in and stand on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know what it represents. Just knows it flashes lights, and little numbers, and something comes up. And so they were making the comment that at 2 years old, he's 30 pounds, and they were calling him a little porker.
Oh.
And it bothered me a little, but I didn't say anything. Of, you know, look what you're instilling in a 2-year-old.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're instilling body image.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, who knows what that kid will grow up to be.
Yeah.
A rail or a barrel.
You don't know. You don't know at that age.
I was 7 pounds, 13 ounces. I was the smallest of the three of us, my two brothers and I, at birth.
Wow.
And look at me now. We'll talk a little bit more with this. We'll do, you know, we'll talk about Monique and some other stuff. We need a music break because some of us need to pee and some of us need some tea.
Oh, okay.
Who should we go with first?
Yeah, we've got...
Weigel.
Well, he's the only male in that group.
When was their operation?
Oh, sorry. Never mind. We're going to go.
We also now, brought this, in some pansy division.
About, this was, song was really written about the guys, the gay men who feel they have to live 7 days a week in a gym to have that perfect body for them to be acceptable. But it can be used for any kind of body image problems.
And that's something we'll definitely talk about. Because I've talked about that a lot of times on here, and we'll go into that again. And when we come back, we'll open the phone lines.
Sure.
Unless you're a drunk female. unless you're a drunk female who doesn't want to hook up with one of our panelists.
Oh, I see.
We have two takers on that.
Oh, no. Let's not go there.
So, it's the,
can't hold the liquor.
Yeah. It's the wife hunt. Chris. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
Mark Weigel with Love Your Body Like It Is.
Oh, here's one. Become what you've always wanted to be. Your new body awaits you at gym. Go ahead.
Is there something wrong with your old one?
Right here. Okay. This is it. Page 37, our local gay newspaper. Laser hair removal. Price is starting at $99. Botox, collagen, Symetra, microderm abrasion, laser treatment for wrinkles, dark marks, unwanted tattoos, red faces, and broken blood vessels. Mole removal, glycolic chemical peels, acne, facials, eyelid surgery, brow lift, facelift, scar revision.
Scar revision.
That's interesting.
You're not your dick.
not what the ads tell you you should be.
They create your insecurities.
You are not the GAP.
Profit off of your body.
You are not the games you play behind your brother's back. My brother, you're better than that.
You're better than that.
Body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
This. Some folks are built like that, the way I'm built. Now don't you call me fat, because I'm built for comfort. Ain't built for speed. And I got everything that a good woman needs. Some folks zip and run, some folks heave and sigh. You want some of this? You gotta take your time, because I'm built for comfort.
Suede with Built for Comfort, not for speed.
Oops.
I love that song. I just love that song.
And I will say I...
And I love the other one before. I think that's such an uplifting song of love your body as it is, because we all have body flaws, or we think we have body flaws, and sometimes we can spend too much time worrying about them.
You know, one of the things of, we touched a little bit on it, of body image.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've made the comments on here before, so I'm not going to startle too many people with saying it. But, you know, for 30 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
I bought, savored, and truly believed that line of crap that because I was fat, I didn't deserve love or respect.
Mm-hmm.
And for 30 years, you know, or for the first 25 years, I didn't try to find that.
Mm-hmm. A partner?
Didn't try that.
Mm-hmm.
I spent five or six years, 24, 25, until I was 30, late 30, that I believed the only way I was going to get interaction with another man was I had to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, when I started this show, being a part of this show, my line was, as long as I got money in the bank, I got a sex life.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And that's how I was for 6 years. I don't say it out of pride. I say it out of truth. That for 5-6 years of my life, if I wanted any chance of having to spend some time with a cute-looking guy, I spent $20 to Lewinsky him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I did. I bought a kid off the street corner. You know, they removed it because the person's no longer working. I paid $350 for 2 hours worth of guy in San Antonio.
Ooh.
And I wrote him a nice review about it.
Yes.
And later he was featured on MTV. So, I mean, you people can say there you that you fooled around with a guy who was on MTV.
There you go.
And something changed. At a certain point, I said, I'm going to believe the other line. There's somebody out there for everybody. And I put in an ad. I found someone. I've talked bad about him. I hate him, but I love him.
Yeah.
Because one thing is, he fed me the words I hadn't heard before. That I was cute. And I bought it. And I bought into it and kept it. I didn't use it as a sugar rush. Mm. And that was the downfall of the relationship because I found out, hey, you know, it works.
Chris, yeah. I don't want to burst your bubble, but you've got a very handsome face. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth.
Yeah.
It really is.
But the problem is that people see this face attached to this body, and I bought into that crap.
And the funny thing is that
my mascara's running now.
God.
I get emotional, and you know,
yeah.
And the part of the thing is, you know, this is not BS. I mean, this is, you know, truthful. That, you know, and I tell people this, and some people go, you know, TMI, you know, that's too much information. But that is how I was.
In some part of everybody's life, you've got to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm happy with what I see. That's me. I'm not going to change, probably, for any drastically. And this is a nice body. It's been good to me, and I like it.
Well, that's the thing I tell people. I say, you know, this is the vessel I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the store and you buy cooking oil, salad dressing, you know, a bottle of soda, you're not buying it for the bottle that it's in. You're buying it for the substance that's inside.
And if
you don't like the packaging, if you're going to judge me by the packaging and not the substance inside, screw you.
You know, Chris, just while we're on the break there, Jimmy and I were out back there talking, and I mentioned to Jimmy, I said, you know, Jimmy, I says, I was going to bring up this one thing, but I decided against it, and that was about these people online who always say, no fats, no femmes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, remember we were just talking about that?
Yeah.
I says, because really, it's just a waste of time. You really don't want to impress those kind of people anyway, because they are so shallow.
And, you know, I've...
They would have found something. Even if you had the body of an athletic gymnast or something, they would have found something to complain about.
And for somebody who's HIV, the one that I hate to see is DDF. Drug and disease free, which really means drug and HIV free. You know.
I've got a personal line in several different spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one that are on some bear websites.
Yeah.
And I have had twice on this one bear website, two different guys, you know, one of them said, you know, 34 years old and 425 pounds, dude looking to stomach stapling.
And this is a bear website. Hello. You're talking with, you know, it's for bigger guys.
But the thing I don't get is this, you know. Yes, you saw my picture. When you go to this website, you see a little picture of me, and then you click on it, and that's where you see the profile.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this person who saw this bust shot of me goes, oh, he looks kind of cute. And then when he clicks on it, he sees, oh my God, he weighs that much. I can handle that. But why in the hell do you think it's important to send an email saying, dude, look at the stomach stapling. If you don't like what you see, don't click on the frickin' button. And if you read it, fine. Hit the ignore button so hopefully you don't see me again.
There you go. If you don't like what you see, change the channel.
Earlier tonight when we were just starting this section, mm-hmm. and I kept having to answer the phone.
Yeah.
I had this caller, she was drunk, and she was very upset that there was a queer attitude radio talk show on.
Yes, she calls about once a month, and she's still upset after almost 19 years that there's a queer talk show on.
Maybe she wants to come on and have a straight attitude radio
station. No, I mean, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, it just amazes me. And, you know, and I will, you know, like I said, you know, at least this one that my photo is a clean one. I had one person lad that I wanted to make sure you knew right off the bat that I am this size.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it was a torso shot.
Yes.
Torso and chest. And you could say I was wearing a smile, but my head's cut off.
Mm.
And I signed up on this one website, and I didn't realize that being the new person, my photo was going to be up there until I got knocked off.
First, yes.
So I had some jackass write a really mean note to me, and I can understand that, because, you know, I was openly flaunting on there, you know, here's what you see, here's what you get, because that's the way I feel about it. I don't lie to people about my size. They know up front, this is what you get.
Well, if you hook up, they're eventually going to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I had a former roommate who, you know, he used to put on his personal ads that he was, you know, 5'9", with strawberry blonde hair. What else? Yeah, it was the third thing he had on there. You know, he's 5'6", with red hair. And he gets all upset. He goes, well, why are guys so disappointed? You know, we don't click when they're...
Because you lie, aren't you?
You're based off a lie. You know, this is who I am. If you don't like the vessel, you know, fine.
Right.
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine that I went to school with, and I mean, she was like real, 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 real big, too. And that was one of her main problems. And I remember doing prom. I begged her to go to prom, and she kept coming with every excuse in the book why she couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she was going through this fat identity crisis so badly that finally when she did get a boyfriend, she got the worst boyfriend. I mean, the guy was so abusive. It's like she felt like...
That was all she could get.
That's all she can get.
Yep.
And I like, begged her, and he kept her from her friends and everybody.
for 8 years, I didn't talk to her. I tried to talk to her, but she wouldn't talk to me because her boyfriend was like, wouldn't let her.
Yeah.
And finally, her parents had died, and that clicked, that she changed. But, I mean, it just shows that her body, her being so big, I didn't care how big she was. I thought she was pretty. I mean, I told her about my cousin that weighed more than she did, went to the prom, got a dress made to fit her. And she went to that prom. She didn't have no date or nothing. And I told her now today the girl is bigger than she was, and she's happily married to a skinny, nice-looking man.
There's a lot of men who like big women.
I mean, nice-looking. I mean, he's not even skinny. He's like nice build, you know, like, ooh-wee. And, I mean, she was getting more boyfriends than I was when I was, like, 130. And she was always big. So I kept telling her for years, and finally she's, like, 35 years old. And finally, she's like got a boyfriend. She got self esteem, but I mean this body image thing is so ridiculous. It's worse than the black thing.
Yeah, we could fill the Astrodome, most likely, with these girls who have binged and purged themselves to death.
Oh, yeah, God.
Who don't have teeth. Anymore, because they've regurgitated up their food so much that the stomach acid has come with it,
and
that it rots away their teeth.
Yeah,
you know, the kids who have killed themselves because they got tired of being called fat. And we go through this kind of crap.
This is like
Melanie has been wanting to.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is, see, there, with it, a lot of the times when you see somebody that's overweight, the assumption is that either they have some kind of bizarre eating disorder or something like that, they have like a food obsession. They have no self-control. They do nothing but, you know, eat cupcakes all day long and sit around. I've got a good friend of mine who has polycystic ovary syndrome, and she's big. And she eats like, I mean, I know skinny people that don't eat anywhere near as healthy as she does. She eats just, you know, really, really healthy and does not eat very much food. But just because of how out of whack her whole endocrine system and everything is, you know, she got to be really obese. And, she's got medicines and things like that, and she's got it under control now. And she's been losing weight, but she's still pretty big. She's a lot bigger than I am.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things is a lot of people will they automatically assume because you're big that you're a fat slob, you have no control, whatever, that, you know, you're big because you're a glutton.
Yes.
And there's a lot of cases. It's like, well, if somebody runs into me, it's like, I have some junk food every now and then or something like that, but I actually, eat fairly healthy. I don't, go in for, like, fast food and stuff like that very much unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
I have, it's like, one of my comfort foods is cottage cheese. That kind of thing, or romaine lettuce salad. And, but for me, it's hard to lose weight.
And also, you have to look at things in a different light with some of this stuff. I found this out very interesting here. I drink a lot of cranberry juice because I have had some problems with kidney stones, so I do like to flush through. Do you realize that Coca-Cola is better for you calorie-wise than cranberry juice?
What?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, fruit juices have a lot of calories.
Yeah. 8 ounces of Coke is, what, 100? Calories?
Say, what do we have here? 140 calories for an 8-ounce can of Coke.
And it's about 180 for, like, cranberry juice or grape juice.
Wow.
So
I got to let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on Listener Sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We've got on the phone
Alfonso.
Here. Alfonso, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Just killing time. Excited to hear y'all tonight like I usually do.
Yes.
Well, I heard everything, and I'm like, well, Personally, I used to have that problem a lot when I was a lot younger. It didn't really get anything serious to me until I got into high school, and I was like, wow, it's really hard for me to find someone to date because of my weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had the same mindset where I was like, well, if I don't lose weight, I'm not going to get anybody. And when you get in that mindset, you can't really find anybody. Even if afterwards, if you just have like really low self-esteem, you can't really approach anyone.
Exactly.
And it got to the point where I was like, well, it took a friend and my mom to tell me, she's like, you know, you're a big person, but you're beautiful, you know. And my friend, he told me, it's like, you're a pretty big guy, man, but it doesn't matter how big you are. It just matters on the attitude. And after they had told me that, you know, I sucked it up. And this is back when I was straight and everything. I walked up to a girl and I talked to her. And sure enough, I ended up getting a date out of her. And
yeah, because it was you.
Yeah. And in the gay community, I feel sometimes that there's a lot of gay people out there that are really, I don't know, they look for like the perfect kind of guy.
We're shallow and superficial.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, shallow and superficial. Perfect.
It has to be the pretty package before they'll even attempt to learn about the person inside.
Yeah, and half the time, they're just as bad, you know, if you were skinny.
Oh, yeah. Let's put it this way. We are such a shallow and superficial society, the gay community. We came up with, for, you know, 20 years, it was the standard, the hanky code. I don't even want to walk up to you and tell you, hey, what I'm interested in. I'm going to look at your ass and have to pull out a sheet of paper and go, hey, what color hanky are you wearing in what pocket to find out what you want to do?
Mm-hmm. I was around when that was first came into vogue, and I actually don't think it was that cynical. I think it was just sort of shorthand. And
then it just got out of hand.
And then like anything else, it turned into like a rigidified thing.
Oh, yeah.
But at first it was just kind of like fun and shorthand, and
mm-hmm.
it wasn't necessarily that everything was limited to that, but that was just sort of here's a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I found this one website, they've got bandanas that are two different colors on each side, so they really screw people up.
There you go.
You know, I'm the cutesy one that says, you know, red hanky. You know, one pocket means you're Jim Henson, the other one you're Kermit the Frog.
Yes.
I find myself looking to those bear magazines, liking those guys better than sometimes in the real GQ looking mags, guys.
But yeah, I mean, there is that different part, and you know, mm-hmm. you can consider it a fetish. There are people out there who do like plus size,
yeah,
yeah,
or bigger people.
I knew someone that was like that. He was a straight guy, but he was attracted to really large women.
Yes, mm-hmm. The bigger, the better.
I mean, if you were like 800 pounds, he would just cream his jeans.
That's referred to as a BBW.
Big, beautiful women. Oh, that's the one thing I hate about this. You know, in the straight society, if you are a large woman, you're a BBW.
Yeah, they don't have anything like that for us.
Big, beautiful woman.
Yes.
And if you're a big guy, you're a BHM. Big, handsome man. What does the superficial queer community call you? Chubby.
Chub. Yeah.
In the straight community, if you like your people Rubenesque.
Yes.
You're an F.A.
F.A.?
Fat admirer.
Oh.
Okay.
In the superficial queer community, you're a chaser.
Yeah, but I agree with you. But if you go, if you would like go downtown and walk around,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just as superficial as the gay community terms of the young, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, Christina Aguilera kind of thing. I mean,
I just attempt to be the slut that she dresses as.
Paris Hilton and weigh next to nothing.
Yes.
Now, Chris, I don't think you can get any argument from anybody in here that I will never be a GQ model. Okay, you'll never see my picture in a porn magazine with a staple in my navel. You wouldn't want to see that.
No.
I don't want to see that. But you know what? If I go to a club and I sit down, it won't be long before I have half a dozen other guys around me. I think what it is also, when you go into a club, you may feel rejected at first. If you have a halfway decent personality and you talk to people decently,
right,
that will win people over.
That's true.
And, you know, yes, like I said, I do look at it from the fetish part because I do know some guys that, you know, since I've lost the 70 pounds, they won't be interested in me. I go into chat rooms, okay, where there's guys saying, is there anyone over 500 pounds?
Yeah.
You know, that's a magic number for them. And that's how some of these, this is what those guys are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as a leather fetish.
Oh,
the
sure.
same thing as mm-hmm. a bear fetish. You know,
it's, you know. It's not just weight. I mean, there's a story, I mean, the story that I tell that I've seen a lot of people get freaked out, which is back in the day when I used to sleep with a lot of people, there were a couple of times when I met somebody, talked to somebody that was gay, and it happened to be that they had cerebral palsy. You know, mm-hmm. and they twitched, you know, and at some point I was just sort of like, this guy is so sweet, this guy is so wonderful, he's cute, and okay, so he's, you know, jerking around some. That is not a reason for me not to sleep with him, because it would be really nice, and I had a beautiful time the times that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when I've told just people in general that story, gay people, and people get really weird when I tell them.
Oh, yeah.
There's this one.
Like, how could you do that? It's like, well, this is a human being. This is
yes.
And talk about somebody that really appreciated it, and it was intense.
Yeah, I don't remember.
They really went at it with beautiful intensity.
I don't remember the exact website. I've got it saved at home. There's this new video file sharing service out. You know, there's like YouTube, and there's another one called VEOH, who recently just dropped all of their adult videos. Well, this one is dedicated to just porn.
Yes.
The most watched video clip that's been uploaded on this website is a guy in a wheelchair. I'm not sure what disease he has, if it's cerebral palsy or mm-hmm. you know, something along those, spina bifida, something like that. So he turns on his webcam, rolls into position, pulls out a porno mag, and I haven't watched the full thing. It's like a 10-15 minute clip. And I'll tell you this, if that's the kind of meat you see in a guy in a wheelchair, I'm bringing wheelchucks.
Oh my goodness.
You know, he needed a special chair just to carry it. And that is the most watched. And he puts it on there saying, you know, I did this because I want to show people that people who have disabilities and disadvantages still are sexual beings.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Sound like he was
incredibly full of love.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been going downtown a lot when I catch the bus to go here and there. And I was waiting at the bus stop one day, and these two GQ fine, well-dressed, nice-looking men came out. And I'm standing right next to these guys. And I was, hello, how you doing? And it's raining and stuff. And they just look at me and like I'm not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, an average-looking blue-collar guy gets off the bus. And it immediately strikes up a conversation with me. And I thought about that because for years, my sisters, they all get these GQ fine men. And I couldn't get them to save my life. And then I realized that, you know, these average guys are coming after me, you know, big guys, whatever size guys, they just average looking dudes. Mm-hmm. They come after me. And I like, they treat me real nice and they notice me. It's like, as soon as they get off the bus, as soon as they drive by, oh, wow, that lady's standing there. But these GQ guys, it's like I'm invisible. I was like, maybe I'm an invisible girl or something to these guys or something.
Yeah, Melanie had a point.
Oh, I was just going to say, when Roy was talking a minute ago, it made me think of something. You know, going back to the guy that emailed you about saying you should get your stomach stapled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you might take that as a compliment because maybe he was saying that you look so good you should be in a centerfold.
I'll be honest with you. My weight problem was diagnosed earlier as a psychological issue. You get depressed, I eat,
mm-hmm.
makes you more depressed. You know, that vicious cycle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked at, you know, controlling that. Stomach stapling wouldn't work for me because it mainly affects, it helps people who binge eat,
yes.
who sit down and eat a whole lot.
Right.
And if anything, I'm more of a grazer, which means, you know, I eat a lot. You know, when I do eat, I eat a lot, but it's a stretched out time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I'll sit down, I mean, especially now lately, You know, I don't get my money's worth at a pizza buffet like I used to. You know, I don't get my money at a Chinese buffet anymore because it just fills me up so quickly.
Sure. Then you're hungry 3 minutes later.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that goes without saying with that anybody without anybody that has, you know, a eating disorder, be it, you know, anorexia or whatever, that they should try to not let it be the point where it's threatening their health. If something's threatening your health, you need to find a balance.
Let me give before we wrap up on this part, we talk about Monique, and then I find if I got the cue here. Let me give a few reference websites out to some people to help you with that. The National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. It's a national organization. It's www.naafa. This is mainly a heterosexual organization. They do have a national event coming up in August up in Boston area. But they're ones that, you know, that's... To put that into gay terms, I have to say they're kind of like Lambda Legal.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the things that they do a lot with is...
Legal issues for
legal
larger
issues,
people.
Legal issues, you know, the events and all that, trying to help out with that part. They're kind of the lead force on... They're the ones who, you know, at one of their national sessions, they brought in Southwest Airlines and American Airlines and said, why do you do what you do?
Good, good. Good for them.
So that's naafa.org. If you're looking for a gay organization in the Chub Chaser community, the national organization is www.abcclubs.com. That's the Affiliated Big Men's Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
abcclubs.com. Send an email to there. You'll get me, because I'm the national secretary. If you're here locally and you're interested, it's houstonbigmensclub.com is the local chapter. And, you know, it's a place where you can gather with people. You're not going to get the pressure to say, you know, you don't need to lose weight. You need to lose weight. We accept you for who you are and who you love. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So to wrap up on this part of my segment with that, I'm going to quote the lines from Love, Valor, and Compassion that Buzz said. Love me, love my love handles.
There you go.
Jimmy wanted to talk about Monique.
Yes. So, Monique gets the last word. This is in the latest issue of Instinct Magazine, National Gay Magazine. It's called Love the Skin You're In, Baby.
And who's Monique?
Monique is a TV and film star.
Okay.
You have seen her in the original Queens of Comedy.
Yep.
Which was the four African American. What's the show she's on?
The Parkers.
The Parkers. She also has
her own show called Monique's FAT Chance.
And she also has the Queens of
the Queens of Comedy. Yeah. She the part of the show that she's doing right now is
she talks about it in this.
America's Top Model for the plus size
girl. She talks
girl.
About this.
So let's go to Monique.
Okay, love the skin you're in, baby. For me, being a big girl was never an issue. I had my other issues, but it wasn't from being a fat girl. I think I started to own who I am when I got into a space in my life where I said, you know what? I love all of me. For my flaws, for everything, I love me. After my second divorce, I said, I'm going to feel Monique. Gay men and heavier women are friends because we're both the underdog and because we want to be accepted so bad that we find acceptance in each other. You fight because you're gay. I fight because I'm fat. Put us in a room together. We're friends because we ain't fighting each other. It's like they screwing with you too. It's a total acceptance. When you have any group of people that is fighting so hard for acceptance, the moment somebody says, I'm here, it's a wonderful relationship. As for gay men, I love my children, baby. They call me mother. Now, I've done television, movies, and performed on stage. My favorite, all of them. But I would have to say stand-up. That's my baby. With TV and film, you have to wait for the numbers to come in and the ratings. But stand-up is a instant thing. As for doing a music CD, baby, they always think all of the fat black women can sing. I promise you, sugar, my CD would not sell for the songs, baby. They'd be like, No. Is she telling jokes in between their songs? I came up with my show, Monique's F.A.T. Chants, from watching Miss America and Next Top Model. Nothing represented me on those shows. I've always wanted to be in a beauty pageant, and I know I'm not the only girl that felt that way. So that's how we came up with the idea. The message of the show is simple. Do you and love the skin you're in. That's it. Don't let anybody determine your destiny. If you believe you're beautiful, then guess what? You're beautiful. And oftentimes people say, you know, Monique, you're telling people to be unhealthy, and you're telling people it's okay to be fat. I'm telling people it's okay to be them. If you're 500 pounds and you have sugar diabetes and high blood pressure and all those diseases, then okay, do something. But do you have to hate yourself? Love you every single day. That's it. Oftentimes, our society equates the word fat with uneducated, unintelligent, unsexy, all the uns you can think of. That's what they put to us. So this year, in the selection of our women, it's extremely diverse. We have a woman that performs autopsies. So we killed that myth that people believe, well, to be fat is to be uneducated. You know what I'm saying? We also did things like horseback riding. How often do you see a fat girl on a horse? She really wants to, but she's been told, you're too big. When we did the show last year, I was interviewed by Diane Sawyer. She's a sweetie, but she said to me, Monique, why not bathing suits? And I said, because lingerie is sexier. And she said, oh, come on. Right. So we did bathing suits, baby. We did ballroom dancing. We did everything that society says we should not do. I think confidence makes a person sexy. That puts the nail on it. It's just swagger. It's the way you walk in a room and say, I know I'm here. Confidence is the key to life. Thank you, Monique.
Yeah.
All
right.
Now we have a couple of songs to go out with on that.
Yes, we do. Let's go with the nice one first. Then we'll go to the really rude one.
Okay, good.
And hopefully I'll get this thing right with what we're going to do with the Democracy Now! And we'll also have our MBB letters.
Cool.
And that this is After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. You know, I'll do this now so we make sure they're... If you loved what you just heard, you hated what you just heard. You know, we know people out there know how to use your keyboard and whine and scream. And you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. If you really hated it, really loved it, it's Dwayne@kpft.org.
There you go.
That's the program. That's the station manager.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're one of those still stuck back in the 80s, and you know you Republicans are, snail mail. It's After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, L-O-V-E-T-T.
Love, T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
That's the one. Not just a zip code, a life. Sorry.
I give him his moment in the sun.
I know, I keep missing that cue.
And you know, if you can send us, your thoughts on this segment, any other segment, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
Thank God he gets something right.
Yeah, I know.
Send it to one of those two. We do love to get those. Because, I'm getting tired of getting the Nigerian scams.
Okay.
Fill my box with something else.
Ooh.
So, we're going to go...
to music.
Candy Cane.
Good.
And we'll be back.
You need a big butt woman.
Transy Division with Big Bottom here on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Before that was Candy Cane. And let me get the actual full title of the song is You Need a Great Big Woman. Kind of wrapping up our lipophobia segment. Right now what we're going to do is we're going to take you to a little bit of show here we do on KPFT and on the Pacifica Network. A little show we call Democracy Now! And, yes, we've got, on Thursday, the Supreme Court of Georgia and the State Appeals Court of New York, both, within a short period of time, struck down gay marriage proposals in those respective states. And, figure what we'll do is we'll go to a report that Democracy Now! Aired on Friday, in which they covered a protest that was in the East Village of New York.
Oh.
And also some information from Lambda Legal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much the long segment was because I got home before it ended. So
oops.
I do have where it started, though.
Okay.
Let me click over to this other wonderful software package that lets me decide where I want to start the video. It took me a second because I realized, you know, it's not this program that does it, it's another one. So I just had to figure out how to do it. So, we're going to take you live to yesterday.
Yes.
Democracy Now!, and I think she tells you how to get in touch with them and all their information at the beginning of the part.
Or at the end.
Yeah, well, no, it's right at the part.
Okay.
When they come back from break, she tells you their website.
Oh,
so
okay.
We don't have to do that. So we take you now to Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. We'll be back after this.
You know, by Manu Chao here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Well, yesterday, the highest courts in two states delivered rulings within hours of each other that set back efforts of gay and lesbian couples to win marriage rights. The New York Court of Appeals rejected same-sex couples' bid to marry, and the top court in Georgia upheld a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage in the state. The New York court ruled 4-2 that the state's definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman was constitutional, and that it was up to the state legislature, not the courts, to decide whether it should be changed.
One of the two dissenters was the chief judge of the court, Judith Kay. In her dissent, she wrote that barring gay marriage is akin to laws that once prohibited interracial marriage. She went on to write that, quote, this state has a proud tradition of affording equal rights to all New Yorkers. Sadly, the court today retreats.
Okay, hold on. What did I do? Let's try it again.
When we come back, we'll look at the issue of gay marriage in New York and Georgia. Two major decisions have come down. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll look at the issue of gay...
Okay, I thought I knew what I was doing. There's that.
Well, yesterday, the highest courts in two states...
Let's see if we go again.
...within hours of each other that set back efforts of gay and lesbian couples to win marriage rights. The New York Court of Appeals rejected same-sex couples' bid to marry, and the top court in Georgia upheld a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage in the state. The New York court ruled 4-2 that the state's definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman was constitutional, and that it was up to the state legislature, not the courts, to decide whether it should be changed.
One of the two dissenters was the chief judge of the court, Judith Kay. In her dissent, she wrote that barring gay marriage is akin to laws that once prohibited interracial marriage. She went on to write that, quote, this state has a proud tradition of affording equal rights to all New Yorkers. Sadly, the court today retreats.
All right, Amy, what are you doing to me? I don't know what's happening here.
Wherever you live, I will live.
Okay,
so
let's...
Marriage rights. The New York Court of Appeals rejected same-sex couples' bid to marry, and the top court in Georgia upheld a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage in the state. The New York court ruled 4-2 that the state's definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman was constitutional, and that it was up to the state legislature, not the courts, to decide whether it should be changed.
one of the two dissenters was the chief judge of the court, Judith Kaye. In her dissent, she wrote that barring gay marriage is akin to laws that once prohibited interracial marriage. She went on to write that, quote, this state has a proud tradition of affording equal rights to all New Yorkers. Sadly, the court today retreats from that proud tradition. I'm confident that future generations will look back on today's decision as an unfortunate misstep, she wrote. A rally protesting the court's decision was held in the West Village in New York City last night. Crowds gathered at Stonewall, where gay and transgendered bar patrons resisted a 1969 police raid that's widely considered the beginning of the gay rights movement with the riots that ensued. This is the Reverend Pat Baumgartner of the New York Metropolitan Community Church speaking at the rally.
Today we learned that four of the six judges on the New York State Court of Appeals believe that it is untenable that domestic relations law permits same-sex marriage. We heard that the law clearly limits marriage to opposite-sex couples, that such limitation is rational because marriage is important to the welfare of children, that this was the universal understanding when our statutes were crafted. But it wasn't. It wasn't the universal understanding when Ruth pledged undying fidelity to another woman. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Though we are seeking to have a universal civil right recognized, maybe the New York State Catholic Conference, maybe the American Family Association, maybe all the folks who like to cite moral authority for our exclusion from this basic human right should take note of the fact that it was two women who provided the Bible's only death to us part public relational pledge. Today we heard that because we generally do not bear children by accident, what a compelling principle to base equality upon. Because our households are more likely to have children if we have them because we want them, we don't need the same encouragement towards stability, the same social supports and benefits. We heard that prejudice and discrimination is more worthy of correction for some people than for others. We could offer many critiques tonight and respond in many ways, but perhaps the most critical thing right now is to say simply and forthrightly, all this decision means is that the fight for equality has just begun. All this means, all it means, is that we will continue to fight in this city and in this state and in this nation until justice is no longer denied us. What it must mean is that we must give up the luxury of thinking things will be okay if we just mind our manners and play along with those who hold life and death recognition over our heads. You know, it is against the law for me to tell you who to vote for. But it is not against the law for me to tell you who not to vote for. Don't vote for anyone who doesn't vote for you and me. It is that simple. That simple. Don't vote for anyone who doesn't vote for you and for me. You know, they accuse us when we say vote for only people who support queer rights. They accuse us of being single-issue voters. But I'm not a single-issue voter. The people in the legislature who aren't holding up their end of the deal are the single-issue voters because they don't see the connection between queer rights and immigration rights and a just and fair wage for all of us and child care for all the people who hold down two jobs. We, our battles, are often disparagingly compared to the civil rights movement in this country. But the only way in which the fight for queer equality on all fronts, including marriage equality, falls short of that legacy is that we have not been persistent in taking to the streets, in demonstrating, and in protesting. The courts, the legislature will not think we are worth saving until we show them that we think we are worth saving. this is my prayer tonight, that this defeat will become our motivation to do the moral and the just and the holy thing and fight like heaven until all of our relationships are equally recognized and protected.
The Reverend Pat Bumgardner of the New York Metropolitan Community Church, speaking at a rally in New York City yesterday. We're joined now by Alfonso David. He's a staff attorney with Lambda Legal, which was one of the main groups involved in the gay marriage case. We welcome you to Democracy Now!
Hi.
Can you talk about, let's start with New York, then we'll talk about Georgia. Sure. What exactly happened?
Yesterday, we received a disappointing ruling from the highest court here in New York, the Court of Appeals. It was a plurality decision decided by three judges with a concurring opinion from another judge that held that under New York's constitution, same-sex couples do not have the right to marry. The court relied on two bases for reaching that conclusion. One, that as a matter of law, same-sex couples, it's better for children to be raised in different sex households than same-sex households. And the court based that on intuition and experience. And secondly, the court held that accidental procreation, because heterosexual couples accidentally procreate, the government can have an interest in furthering a stability of heterosexual relationships. Therefore, different sex couples should have the right to marry and same-sex couples should not. And the government can try to further those relationships by excluding same-sex couples. The dissent issued a very, very powerful statement by saying that there's no evidence that this reason that the government has articulated is furthered by excluding same-sex couples from marriage. Different sex couples will not procreate because same-sex couples cannot marry. So the interest that the government articulates is not furthered by excluding same-sex couples from marriage.
And in the Georgia case, there had actually been a constitutional amendment previously overwhelmingly passed by Georgia voters. And what did the Georgia court decide? Had that amendment been overturned in a lower court and then it was reinstated, or was it just upholding the amendment?
Well, in Georgia, the General Assembly passed a Senate resolution placing on the ballot a constitutional amendment that would provide that in the state of Georgia, only marriages between different sex couples, between a man and a woman, would be respected, that marriages between same-sex couples would not be respected, and that no union between same-sex couples would be respected in the state of Georgia. Now, we challenged that constitutional amendment because...
And that amendment was passed? Or?
That amendment was passed by the voters in Georgia. And we challenged that constitutional amendment on the grounds that it violated the single-subject rule. And that's the rule that provides that voters should have the right to only vote on one issue. And the constitutional amendment basically forced them to vote on several issues. One, whether or not marriage should be limited to different sex couples. Two, whether or not the state of Georgia has the right not to respect unions, any type of union, between same-sex couples. Now, it was conceivable that a voter in Georgia could conclude, I don't necessarily believe that same-sex couples should have the right to marry, but I think that they should have the right to have a civil union. Now, the voters in Georgia didn't have that choice. So we challenged the constitutional amendment as being violative of the single subject rule. And the trial court agreed with us, saying that it did violate the single subject rule. And it was appealed to the high court, the Supreme Court in Georgia. And they concluded that the single subject rule was not violated, that the constitutional amendment was procedurally proper.
How does this fit in, the New York decision, going back to that, to the politics of New York? You had some very odd situations where you had the mayor speaking out possibly for gay marriage, but he had supported this case. Then you had Eliot Spitzer, who is the attorney general running for governor, whose office brought this case against gay marriage.
Right. It's odd. The arguments that both the mayor and the attorney general proffered to the court were, we think, baseless. But the attorney general and the mayor argued that they had an obligation as public officials to defend the law in the state of New York. Although personally they disagreed with the law, they felt that they had an obligation to enforce it. which is why you see this conflict.
And so you say, so they're saying we want to see the legislature change the law here. It shouldn't be the courts that do it.
Correct. Both the mayor and Attorney General Spitzer have made public statements that they support the right to marry for same-sex couples and that they will work in the legislature to make sure that that happens. So now we have to make sure that we hold them to their word, that they really will go to the legislature in Albany and make sure that same-sex couples have equality in New York, because as it stands now, they're treated as second-class citizens. They do not have the right to marry.
Now, this this issue has been fought out in state after state. Now there's about 40 states that either have a constitutional amendment or a statute that forbids marriage between gay couples. Now, what is your movement and your efforts? Where do you go next?
Well, we continue to do what we've been doing, and our efforts depend or change depending on the circumstances. We are working in several states around the country to make sure that relationships between same-sex couples are respected, and we need to keep in mind that although in New York we're dealing with marriage, in other jurisdictions we're not necessarily dealing with marriage. We might be dealing with civil unions, or we might be dealing with domestic partnership laws, or we might be dealing with adoption, or we might be dealing with foster care. What we try to make sure is that relationships between same-sex couples and families, same-sex couples that do have families, that those relationships are respected under state law, not only in terms of statutory law, but also the Constitution. So we continue to move forward. And we should keep in mind, I was mentioning to a colleague of mine, that we should keep in mind that, you know, several years ago, the arguments as to why same-sex couples should not have the right to marry were radically different. In 1986, it was criminalized. Same-sex couples could not have private consensual intimate conduct or engage in private consensual intimate conduct. And the U.S. Supreme Court reversed that decision, the Bowers versus Hardwick decision, with the Lawrence versus Texas decision. And so the arguments that are now proffered as to why relationships between same-sex couples should not be respected have radically changed. They can't reach for those arguments anymore because empirical evidence shows that there's no support for it. And also, in New York, at least, public opinion shows that there isn't. In New York, 53% of people believe that same-sex couples should have the right to marry. That's the majority.
Alfonso David, I want to thank you very much for being with us, staff attorney at the national headquarters of Lambda Legal here in New York, one of the groups that brought these cases, both in New York and Georgia. When we come back, we'll be joined by Michelle Goldberg. She's author of Kingdom Coming, The Rise of Christian Nationalism. Stay with us.
And well,
hold on, let me see.
If everyone knew what they
yeah, sometimes her music is, you know,
esoteric.
Yeah, well, her last segment, you know, it. She was talking about the Mexican election, so she had Hispanic music playing.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking, well, maybe she was going to play some
queer music. No,
that was courtesy of Democracy Now.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
Which you can hear here on KPFT at 9 o'clock in the morning and 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at night, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can actually watch Democracy Now on your computer. It is a television show as well.
Mm.
You can iPodcast it and all the other techno babble stuff there at democracynow.org.
Yeah. Oh, we have letters.
We've got letters, letters, letters.
Yes, we do.
I'll save the...
From Jaime and from Tigger, right?
No.
Oh.
You're half right. Once again, Jimmy comes into the conversation half-assed.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Well.
Ding!
Oh. 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 Well, isn't he a cutie?
Clean up on aisle four.
No
clean
kidding.
Up on aisle four.
Get the mop.
That's Thomas.
Uh-huh.
It's my hope that this finds you all doing well. First of all, each one of you rock. I've never had the privilege to hear your show. The past hour, I've really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Tommy. He's an inmate.
Mm-hmm.
15-year sentence.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to know what for.
Yeah,
I don't even care. What I care about is that he's writing.
Yeah, he was explaining what he was in there
mm-hmm.
for there. And unfortunately, I didn't have much time to read ahead of time. I was
running late,
and then I had to show everybody up the...
Yes. The rice cake cheeseburger.
I think he's trying to find someone to write to.
Okay.
When you gave your address to write, I'm enclosing a picture. Sorry, it isn't one like you were talking about. Because he's talking about, you know, it's not a dirty picture. It's
a headshot.
It's a headshot, and it's kind of a mosaic.
Of the big head.
Yeah. The northern head.
Yeah.
He was trying, you know, like he's trying to find a writer. He is 28,
mm-hmm.
6 foot one,
mm-hmm.
175 pounds,
mm.
very easygoing. He likes music, art, outdoors, and sports. He is an artist and spends a lot of time drawing, reading, and
masturbating.
Learning.
Oh.
I have to buy my I got new glasses today, and it's
and can't see out of them.
No, I can see fine. It's just it's late. Yeah, you know how cheap I am, and these are 99-cent store glasses.
Oh, those kind of new glasses. Gotcha.
Yeah. If it's not possible to reach anyone, we still rock. Keep
Thank
it up,
you.
And he'll be listening.
Thank you.
When you can pick it up. Yeah, no, I left the house tonight, and I didn't have glasses with me, and I went shopping to get stuff for the Burgerama, and it's like, I need glasses, and
mm-hmm.
I went for the stylish blue ones that everyone says looks black.
Whatever. And the other letter is from...
Oh, hold on, we'll give everybody a little clue once I... Where's my clue? There's my clue.
Oh, I know what it is. Sound of stamps.
Hear that, people?
Yes.
Oop. Extends out.
Whoa. Yeah.
You do that so well.
There we go.
Those are stamps.
Yes, they are.
And we'll be definitely talking about this in a month when Summer Pledge Drive comes up.
Yes.
But these are stamps, people.
From Tigger.
From Tigger, who is a longtime supporter. We'll unfortunately, he still can't hear us, but we'll check into this letter that you have that you received saying your membership had expired.
Oh,
we'll make sure we get that stuff taken care of.
Okay.
He even sent back. Yeah, this is amazing. He even sent back
the envelope
so that we could actually reuse it.
Wow.
Dear After Hours Gangs, I hope this finds you all well. I guess I'm doing okay considering I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
For a while. He can't pick up the show. He's still trying.
Damn.
I'm so glad that even though I am out in here... take 20. I am so glad that I am out in here because if I weren't, I would have been outed recently by the mailroom.
Oh.
For a year, I've been getting the Advocate in a silver bag mm-hmm. for privacy. Like I said, I'm out, and I don't care. In fact, I often make it a point to leave the issue on my bunk where others can see it plainly, and I hope to start a conversation about the cover stories. But a couple of weeks ago, they started giving me the magazine to me without the cover bag.
Oh.
So when the mailbag is empty, the issue is in sight of all curious eyes. Now I feel bad because I've told a couple of the inmates who are not out for the unit, that it was safe to get a subscription to the Advocate.
Oh.
They say that this presents a security issue.
Yeah, sure does for them.
And it seems to me that outing someone in the middle of prison at mail call is much more of a security issue than a little plastic if the guard can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Sure.
You use the plastic as a suffocation device.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine's title... a little plastic if the guard can't see the magazine title without pulling it out of the package. But what do I know? It doesn't affect me, and I'll continue to get the magazine. I just hope I didn't get someone who wasn't really outed. Anyway, I didn't hear otherwise, so I'm assuming the stamps pledge is still good. And when I finally get to the store on the 29th, he'll get more stamps for June.
Okay.
Here's somebody... let's wrap up here with a part here. Take care to all and bless it, and I hope to hear from you all soon. TTFM.
Ta-ta for now.
Ah, okay. You know, this is one of the things, you know, we talk about a lot with on the show. And, you know, the MBBs are a group of people who, if they're lucky, they get to hear the show, they get to hear the message that we broadcast out. You know, sound will penetrate closet doors and prison bars,
mm-hmm.
as long as the scramblers aren't left on.
Yeah.
But here's somebody who's taking their greatest commodity that they've got and is contributing to this station. And this makes him, in my opinion, a hell of a lot more of an activist than anybody who clicks clacks a little on a website just because it has the word activist in it.
You bet.
This is someone who is standing up for himself. He is out in an environment that it's not that safe to be out in.
Right.
And he's doing it. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder sometimes with the fact that we've got people who don't stand up in our community, who don't take that step forward. And here's someone who's lost his rights because where he's at to say what he wants, do what he wants, and he's standing up for our right to say what we want to do. And hopefully we can find some Tiggers out there in the free world who don't wear the orange and stand up for someone and, you know, defend someone. You may not walk completely in their shoes, but was the old saying there with the, they came for the Jews, I said nothing because right. I wasn't a Jew. They came for the gypsies, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a gypsy. They came for the perverts, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't a pervert. And when they came for me, there was no one left to say something.
Yep.
And, you know, activists, remember the root is active.
Yeah.
And we could use a little of that nowadays.
Sure could. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM.
And always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
You betcha.
You can also find archives of the show at that website.
Mm-hmm.
Share it with your friends.
You betcha.
Find a fatophobe and
ooh.
Send them a link.
Or check out myspace.com.
And once I start updating it again.
Yeah, I know.
I looked at
that. But there's still stuff to do there.
Yeah.
MySpace slash...
MySpace.com/AfterHoursKPFT.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine. We're going to make up shirts.
Oh, good.
Has to do with MySpace.
Yeah, I went there tonight and I saw that. Boy, he hasn't posted anything in none of the playlists since May.
Yeah, since the week before you.
Yeah, since I went to the hospital.
But no, we're going to make up these. I've got these two t-shirt designs I want to make up.
Yeah.
One of them, my friend came up with, it's going to say, you know, my mama always warned me about meeting strange men on the internet.
Yes.
On the back, it's going to say, but she never told me I'd like them.
Ooh.
Then I'll put the little MySpace.com logo.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm making up is, you know, I share a belief with the evangelical Christians.
Oh.
I believe in a second coming.
Oh. That's so bad.
Yes, it is. But if you know me, you understand.
God.
I have that evil streak. All right. We've got 1 minute. Last minute points, comments. Your mics are on in there.
Oh, wow.
Again? Wow.
I don't have any points to make. Just, you know, we'll see y'all next week. This time, this station.
Okay.
And next week, because of the segments we have, we should have regular scheduled hosts.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Next week, we
what
have
a concept.
Black on Black.
Black on Black, followed by...
With Christopher. Followed by the
poetry segment with a name too long to say in the last 30 seconds.
And I can never remember it anyway.
Yeah.
But David will be there with that.
We'll just call it the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Okay. Okay, coming up. What's the show coming up?
Laura Palooza.
I like that.
Right.
With Lindsay.
And so let's stick this thing in your ear real quick.
Oh, stick it anywhere.
Stick it in your ear.
Hmm.
But for the grace of FCC, we'll be back next week.
There you go.
Let me make sure I got...
KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's five local station boards. Board delegates are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into dialogue between the community and the station. Candidates are chosen in both listener and staff pools. There are two ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. Volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Nominations for the board begin June 25th and close September 25th. We'll post candidate data online, and after the nomination process is complete, post on-air candidate forums. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail starting October 16th. Completed ballots will be due by November 15th. Pacifica's principles require that we strive to achieve diversity, and voters are urged to consider that in casting their votes. This is KPFT Houston.
Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star.
No. No. Do you realize you're not in Kansas?
She fell from the sky. She fell very far. And Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas. I'm quite sure you're not in Kansas. Girl, please. You might not ever get back to Kansas. You got to find yourself right where you are. What? You say you need some direction. Listen to Earth 101 every Tuesday, 10 a.m., 90.1. I think the lady's name is Itaji. No, that's KPFT Houston, 10 a.m. Tuesday.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.